This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
You are not a leader because you call yourself a leader. You're a leader when your people call you the leader.
Hey, 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 good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. We are here at the Color of Money podcast. I am Emmerich Peace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with my fabulous, fabulous, fabulous crew today. Daniel Dixon, Bo Mankiti, and the incomparable Julia Lachey. Hey, we're going to have a great conversation today. This conversation is about leadership. And the real question is, if you're a leader, are you the leader that people are following because they believe in you? Or are you the leader that people are following you because you're paying them? It's two different conversations. And we have just our phenomenal guest, my big sister, absolutely nothing except love. I'm glad I'm on this this podcast because she can't read me too well. None other than the fabulous Linda Clemens. Linda's going to drop some jewels on us about, you know, where we really should be in our leadership journey. And as far as just influencing people, influencing friends and growing our sphere. So, Linda, you've been a few places lately and you're here with us today. And I'm so grateful that you graced us with your presence, because if anybody looks at your list of clients, they would drool, fall over, drop out. And I'm like, OK, we got Linda. We got Linda. She came. So what's this thing about, you know, us communicating and presenting ourselves as leaders, Linda? Tell us a little bit more about that and what your thoughts are, whether it be verbal or nonverbal.
Well, first of all, my brother from another mother, I thank you, Emmerich. And of course, a wonderful hello to your entire power team. I'm excited to be here. When you speak of the list of clients, it gives me joy only because of the God I serve said that your gifts, your talents, and even your area of expertise will make room for you. So even during the time, and for those that are listening or watching, during the time of the pandemic, my territory was expanded because I was tapped in, if you will, to a higher source and a higher power. And knowing how to pivot and talking about the area of leadership, let me just share with your audience a bit of a background, since your family and they want to know who you bringing into the family. You know, I travel around the world with two areas of expertise. One area, I'm one of the top sales experts out there. And the other area, this is what my clients say, I'm one of the top body language experts in the world. And I got to tell you, the nonverbal communication is this, I believe, is one of the main things, in addition to building relationship, deepening the rapport, that helped me be number one in sales in every company that I worked for. And all my sales experience has been in the area of commission sales only. So for those that are out there listening, just saying that word, you know what I mean, right? So in having that foundation, and people would say, well, wait a minute, you're selling in any kind of time zone, any kind of economic, any kind of culture. And it's just knowing the psychology of it, as well as the science and the psychology behind the way our consumers think and feel. How does that tie into leadership? It ties into leadership, how you show up with your team, with yourself, with your family, with those and organizations that you are chose to lead and to guide. It's how you show up. And by the way, make a note, okay? Go get your tissues in case this shocks you. You are not a leader because you call yourself a leader. You're a leader when your people call you the leader. So think of the time of those growing up, and just think of the time when you were a youngster. How many of you out there listening, do you have children? Or you ever been a child before? Come on, hands are going up. That time when you're on the playground and we're playing games and everyone's trying to decide whose team they're going to be on, whose team. I want to be on her team. I want to be on Julia's team. I want to be on this team. I want to be on Bo's team. I want to be on this team. And then there were other times, maybe in the classroom, when there was a project to be done and someone says, choose, the teacher would say, choose a leader for your team. And everyone may look at you, me, someone else, or someone may shout out, choose Linda. I choose Bo. I choose this person. I choose that person. Why did they say that? Even if you were children, if there were children, how would the kids know? Do they know the characteristics and the qualities of what it takes to be a leader? And it's the things that you do. And here's the thing I want you all to remember. And this is the body language part for me coming out, because I do a training, and because we're talking the subject of leaders, called the silent language of leaders. I do it for a lot of C-16 or C-suite executives or CEOs, VPs, because it's not just what you say. It's what you do that really matters. And one of my favorite quotes is from Emerson, and I use it in every presentation. And for those that are listening, you analytical and you digital folks out there that you can say, that ain't right, I'm going to look it up, Google it. I clementize it. That means I season quotes, okay? I add my hot sauce and my spice to clementize it. But the quote by Emerson goes like this: I cannot hear what you are saying because who you are being is getting in the way. Wow. Now think about that. I cannot hear what you are saying because who you're being is getting in the way. You've heard the phrase action. Think about it. Action speaks louder than words. And my granny would say, baby, I hear you talking, but I don't see you walking. So it is so critical as a leader that your words, according to the communication theory, done out of UCLA, 7%, your tonality, and your, which is 38, and your nonverbal, 55, that it all in line. So if all three don't agree, then thus lie the disconnect between you and me. Linda, what does it have to do with leadership? My granny would say, maybe I need to do a book on granny. My granny would say, baby, I don't want to hear a sermon. I want to see one. As a leader, it is your actions that are long remembered. It's not just what you do, it's how you show up. That's why I used to hear folks in corporate, they'll say, well, you know what? This is what this person did. This is what this person said. This is what this person happened. They'll get the rumors and the things going. And someone will say, all I know, I don't care what's going on with their personal life. I don't care what's going on with their financial life. I don't care. All I know, this is what this individual did for me, did the action. So it is so critical if you are a leader, and sometimes you may be a self-appointed leader. And then, Emmerich, you have to ask yourself as a self-appointed leader, what are the qualities and characteristics that I have that makes someone want to lead or follow me? You know, that vision, that mission, that captures that. What do I have? Do I possess it? Do I have the courage, the confidence, the competence, you know, to be able to walk that talk? So, you know, combining that together, those are the things that I would challenge your listeners, your viewers to ask yourselves. So that was a long response.
No.
Things have to go around the corner just to get a sandwich that's in the refrigerator. All right.
No, that was real. And so when you have that conversation, you know, we always hear this thing that says, they say, it's none of your business what other people think of you. It's all of your business how they think of you. You're right. They're going to think whatever they think regardless. How they think of you is something different. And how they think of you is how you act, how you respond, how you talk, how you look. Those are the things that really matter. So in that place of leadership, it's really how do the people think of you? And then that determines whether they'll follow you.
Yeah. And it's how you show up. And if you're consistent in your movements and in what you do, you know, when people meet you for the very first time, one of the things we are stimulated, studies have shown a large percentage by the visual, because we're checking a person out. We're checking out the color of their skin, their gender. We're checking out what they're wearing. You know, some folks look at the shoes, you know, look at look at how you wrap your package. And by the way, I'm telling you this for those that are out there, if you're a leader, and depends on your culture and your environment, and if you're going to meetings and you're understanding the environment that you're in, what the protocol calls for, even how you wrap your package, you could be worth $1 billion, but the way you wrap your package, they're going to have a perception about you based on the way you dress, because we're stimulated by the visual, what we see first, because we're assessing that individual to see if they are a friend are a foe. So someone checks you out for the very first time. And yeah, people do get misjudged by what they wear, how they look, and even more so by their actions. But it's very important how you wrap your package, because I'm going to give you another grannyism. Granny would say, you can't sell a $1 million deal if you look like $1.99.
Oh, Granny was good.
Granny was good. Granny was good. So you out there, you can say Linda's granny. Granny was wise. So because of the perception, just like when I work with those in the financial industry, if you look like you need to borrow $5 from me, what kind of investment tips are you going to give me? So that's part of the whole visual. And then they begin to match. How do you think con artists get by? You know, how do you think con artists, those schemes, because they present themselves in the package of wealth and success. That's how they get over. Mm-hmm. You know, they present that image. So it's critical. Now, I know there may be some millennials, some Zs out there, and those individuals that thinking, I've got to be me. If I can't be who I am, I'll say this to the young adults, I respect that. I want you to be your authentic self, but there are different parts. Like there are many faces of Eve and many faces of Adam. They're different parts that show up. That other part may not need to show up in the workplace. So when young adults will come up to me all the time that says, yo, Miss C, I need to be me. I need to be who I am. They think they want to prepare me for leadership, but they got to take me who I am. And I'll say this, look, in all honesty, can I talk to you frankly? And they'll say, serve it to me straight. I says, when you interviewed for your position, was your hair like that, the color, as if your daddy was a parrot? Because you got 20 different colors in your hair.
Not a parrot.
Your daddy's a parrot. No, you didn't go to me and say, no. I'm only speaking and addressing what you were talking about, being your authentic self. So I'm just asking, now that you're in the door, you're in the game, and you want to play by the rules or master the rules, I was just asking that in your initial first impression, were you dressed or did it look like that your daddy was a parrot with the multicolors in your hair? No, I was dressed in a... So was that the imposter that the company hired? Who was that self? So I have to tell this to young adults because they... And I said, you don't know who's the stakeholder. You don't know who's interviewing you. You don't know the culture. You don't know how they measure. One of the things that you should know when you're selling and you're out there, how you're rated, how they judge, what's their process. It's critical. So there are many faces of you, many diverse personalities. You are a certain way when you're signing a contract. Versus you're a certain way when you're going shopping and having fun at a movie. So it's critical knowing what leader shows up.
You know, and that's funny because I'm over here looking at Daniel now. Because I think Daniel, we had a conversation about that a little while ago. But see, now Daniel's got enough money. He just do what he wants to do now. But that was just funny because I used to always say that to people. And now they kind of sort of have me. I've switched up some from where I was. I did have the bow tie all the time. I switched up some. And it's just interesting that you said it that way because some groups don't get it. You have to earn the right to do something, certain things.
So it takes 4 to 7 seconds, and I'm going to give you an extra second, to make that good first impression. You may not get a second chance to redo it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So people say it takes a first, you only get one chance to make a set first good first impression. Yeah. That sounds good. But I like to add to it, like to clementize it. You also have the opportunity to validate what they're thinking. And so, see, no one talks about that first 4 to 8 seconds. So if you're coming into my office and you've done your research on the company, you understand the culture of the company. A good story is like one of the stories of Southwest and the Love Airline. And I'm talking about when Herb Keller, the founder, co-founder that was alive. And Southwest is known, the Love Airline, the fun airline. You know, they sing and have fun on the plane. And they were interviewing for airline pilots, captains. They were interviewing, and several of them, one guy came in dressed in, you know, all his military gear, had all this on, you know, all his pins, Emmerich, all everything that's on there.
Ribbons, yes.
Ribbons, everything that was on there for the interview. And of course, the way he checked in, you know, to get the ticket, the flight, the way he interacted with the individual at the counter, got back to the office, one guy come in. Other guy come in, you know, he was professional, dressed nice in a suit. You know, he didn't have his uniform on or anything that indicate that he was in the military or anything like that. And the third guy came in. He had his military jacket on, but he was wearing Bermuda shorts. Because he understand the culture. The top part, everything he did showed the qualifications, but the Bermuda shorts showed I can have fun because he knew the culture of the airline. So think about that. So if, how many of you out there play football? How many of you out there play basketball, tennis, or any sport? So think about this. You say, Linda, I'm going to teach you how to play basketball. Okay, I'm in. I mean, I'm going to slam dunk. I'm going to do this thing. I'm in. So Linda, come ready. And I come dressed in my leotards and my jazz dance outfit. And you just, Linda, or I come dressed in a ski outfit, like I'm going, you know, on the slopes. And you're saying, Linda, I'm teaching to play basketball. Dress for the game.
Yeah, Linda, I have a question because we're talking about kind of how people are showing up with their appearance, but you're really known as a communication coach for nonverbal type of behaviors.
You've been wanting to get any into it.
Because I missed the luxury symposium. What I really want to know is that most people don't realize how their body language affects their credibility. So you're talking about when you show up, you look a certain way. You're already making an impression or you're validating what they thought. But also when you're showing up, the way you're showing up in your body language affects what they think of you or you're confirming or validating what they already thought of you. What do you think are some of the most important things that people need to know about showing up in addition to the attire, the appearance, what you're wearing, but just how you show up, period, the presence, the power of your presence?
Absolutely. Excellent question. So the key is how you show up online virtually, because you may be doing the interview virtually, and how you show up in person. So one of the things that's so important when you're showing up in person, begin, as Covey would say, begin with the end in mind. You already know, I've got this, I've conquered this mountain. When you come in, what does your posture look like? Are you standing upright? Are you slumped over? When you come in, are you fidgeting? And to the women that are out there, and maybe a few good men, but to the women that are out there, are you coming in loaded down with stuff? Julia, when I'm talking about the bag in the hand and this right there, just like you just came from the grocery store trying to carry the baby.
The bag lady.
Bag lady.
Yeah.
You're coming in open and ready to begin to take care of business. So when you walk in, do you walk in intentional or do you open the door and or the door is open perhaps and you walk in and kind of like stop a little bit and looking around like, pardon me, I'm Miss Jones, Mr. Jones, I'm Linda Clements. Whoa, that doesn't sound like someone's confident. Do you walk in where the body literally announces itself, where you walk in the room and you pause? My name is Linda Clements. I'm here for my 9 o'clock. All that makes a difference, even how you sit down. Are you sitting in the chair where you're sitting upright where your core is tightened and you're at the edge of your seat? Think about, do you going to a movie that is so good and you're telling me about the movie and you says, oh my gosh, Linda, that movie was so good. I was sitting at the edge of my seat. It's called seat ready. Even when you're sitting, some people come in and sit back like this. I have to get on young adults all the time and a few older ones too, because it doesn't look like you're ready in the game. But when you're seat ready, sitting at the edge of your seat, you can move from the core. So as we're speaking, I see myself in this company. One of the things we can do, you're in the game. And so sometimes it's the little things that we don't think about. When you're sitting at that chair, feet are flat on the floor. Do not cross the ankles. Ladies, do not cross the legs. Okay? Feet are flat on the floor. Your lead leg, be it right, left, whatever, is pointed towards the person that you're speaking to. Our legs, our feet don't lie. They're often pointed in the direction in which we want to go. So you can always know that if you're speaking in a group, like a little networking circle, and then all of a sudden one of you want to leave, you have a tendency to do this. Here's your feet. You go like this. Okay. okay? And the feet start pointing where you're ready to go. That's what happens when you're in a presentation and your mind begins to go elsewhere. Wherever the mind goes, so will the body flow. So it's important how you show up to make that awesome first impression, because people remember the first and the last thing, the first thing we do, the first, our first impression, and how we leave them. So yes, it is critical how you walk in that room, own that room.
Can you apply that to a listing presentation or a buyer consultation? A lot of our listeners are real estate practitioners and they're meeting with clients on a daily basis and they may not get selected, you know, for the job.
So if they're meeting them at their property, one of the things that people love to see happen, if it's their home, that you acknowledge the home as you walk in, even with your facial expressions, you acknowledge the home and then you look right at them. Miss Jones, Mr. Jones, Fred, Susan, Dorinda, David, I'm excited to speak with you. Some people go right into the home with the idea, let's get straight to business, and not even acknowledge everything. Oh my gosh, is that a Glenn Young painting? Is that such and such painting? Oh my, that's fabulous. They don't even do that. They don't temper the room or their environment. So it's so critical that when you walk in the door, that your door is open. Okay, what do you mean my door? Hold on, Linda. Hold on. I walk into their house. That's their door. I'm in the door. The door is open. No, their door may be open, the physical door. But if your door is not open, and when I say your door, it's your power zones, throat, heart, belly button area, the reproductive area. We talk about that for another show. All right. But if those power zones are not open, imagine you going in with just your folder. Hi, I'm Linda. Look at this little handshake. Barely want to stick out there. Hi, I'm Linda. You know, it's like you don't want to be here. And some people, it depends. There's some folks that are out there. They may have an aversion to little kids, our dogs, our pets. And the moment that you go in there, and if you're uneasy or anything like that, and then let's say the little kid is acting up, and you may be one of those individuals that have a low tolerance for children that misbehave. So what happens if the kid, this is a family home, and they're looking to you. They're looking at you and you walk in there like this and the kid says, I want it now. And you're going like, And they see that. Don't think.
I can see Daniel doing that. Daniel, I can see that being you.
No, yeah. I love kids. I love kids and dogs. Adults. Yeah. Adults are my problem. Adults and young professionals are my challenge.
See, that's your challenge. See, so it's important, and I hope I addressed the question for you, Julia. It's important. Yes. I mean, there's a book by a friend of mine by the name of Scott McCain, and the title of that book is All Business is Show Business. You know, for those that are readers, you can't lead if you don't read. And I read about 4 books a month. So put that in your library if you want the Audible or just to read it. You got to do that because it's the thing that keeps you fresh. So it's so important. So that's a good question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Linda, we're in an industry where that's very transient, right? So we focus on our own leadership abilities and we build ourselves as a leader. And then we pour into our people and then our people leave for the next brokerage that offers a better split or whatnot. How do you keep giving yourself and giving your best self, knowing that it's going to be coming to an end or may be coming to an end inside of our business and not feel jaded?
That's a great question. And I want to ask you this question. Why do they leave?
There's a multitude of reasons. It's a better split. It's they get more money over here. Someone's promising them leads. It's a number of reasons. Sometimes it's the leader. Sometimes it's a bunch of different things in the brokerage business.
Okay. Because, and we could do a whole session on what we call sorting, on how you build the right dream team. There's certain characteristics and qualities that make that ideal team, because there's some people that go around on the merry-go-round and they wait for whatever the great opportunities are. But one of the things that I would challenge everyone who's building a team, build your team so, equip them so, that anyone in the world would want to take them and recruit them, that they can go. Build them so that they can go anywhere in the world, but develop them so that they don't want to.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
When you hear people after certain companies, you see someone, they've been there for 30 years, 40 years, and they said, and then the leadership, we can't get them to retire. They get to retire twice over. They just don't want to leave. And employees, I don't want to leave. Build it that they can go anywhere in the world. See, I wouldn't be worried about holding your gifts, Daniel. I wouldn't be worried about holding your gifts and worried that it's going to go out elsewhere because the gifts were given to you not to keep. The gifts were given to you to give. You cannot return to your maker full with all the gifts and not leave everything on earth. So they were given for you to do that. So now let's flip that switch. So what would happen is like, man, every time they go work for his office, it is like, it's like a superstar boot camp. Man, they could come out of there, people fighting. Now, I changed the narrative. People fighting to get up in there because, man, they can go anywhere. They're superstars. So how we shift it, we give them incentives and opportunities and experiences that they can't get anywhere else. That they can't get anywhere else. So they may go for better leads there, but next thing you know, you have someone else talking about, let me tell you what happened when we went on the last retreat or the last trip.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
Look who they brought in. Look who they surprised us with the $1 million roundtable. Look who they do. I mean, I was thinking about going. And I know on the north side of town, I was going to go hang out with Eve on the other side of a garden. But baby, the fruit was better here. Build it so they could go anywhere. And when you do that reverse psychology, if you will, I'm going to build you up. You guys, this is a superstar factory, kind of like Motown. I'm going to build you up. That not only you can have your own brokerage, you can go anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. Okay? My hope is you're going to do that. But what's going to happen? You probably won't. Because I'm going to treat you in a way that it's going to be very difficult to go. Now my brain is acting, it's going kind of crazy right here. Like, man, what else is in store that I may be missing? You see what I'm doing? What else is in store that I may be missing if I was to leave? Because we have to ask ourselves, why does that happen in the industry? And why can't it be for you all the exception and not the norm?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't the narrative be changed, Daniel? Why can't the narrative say, look, all I know, everybody to come out that office, everybody that right there. That right there. Now they got, let me tell you, it'd be a time that anybody can go work over there. Now you got to go to a 2 or 3 day process. You got to go through a panel interview to see if you are part of the team. Now you see, Bo, you like how I'm setting this up? You see, I'm setting this up. It's all how you frame it.
Mm-hmm.
There's Hershey and then there's Godiva. Hershey will eat and whatever, but Godiva, you give it to special folks and friends. So it's how you set it up. And by the way, if you set up that environment and that culture, people go in and they program themselves expected like, child, honey, whatever's better than the next thing. But there's no commitment. So if we are teaching them how to build and build wealth and build for legacy and build to be able to build and help and bring others up, there are certain things in commitment that's important. See, if we teach those fundamentals and we teach those pillars, I'm going to let you know up front that I'm going to build you up to the point that anyone in the world will want to be proud to have you on their team. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to love you enough that you won't leave. That's my philosophy.
Oh, I
and
like
that's
that.
I literally had to push people off in my sales team. They didn't want to get promoted. They didn't want to get promoted. Have the time that they don't want, because, well, I know if we go over to another department, they're not going to, temptations. It's the way you do the things you do. They're not going to do it the way you do. So you got me wrapped up on that question.
Can I switch gears just a little bit? Because you're also, Linda, known as the queen of networking. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about how you do that and how we could all employ some of those skills that you teach. How can we, because obviously in our lives, in our jobs, in our roles, the key for us is always lead generation. You have to find the next lead. If you're not lead generating, you're not eating. So most of them, I prefer to do that through networking. So how can we learn to be the queen or king of networking?
Thank you so much. One of the things, I do an event here in Indianapolis, and I'm in my 45th year of doing these events. And my 40th anniversary of doing these women's conferences, we had Jeffrey Osborne there. And no one knows who's going to be at the conference. So every year, you have no idea who the speaker is going to be. You have no idea what the agenda is. And people beg for an invitation. I do not advertise or market it. And it's by invitation only. And here's what happens. When they leave that experience and the conference, they tell someone else. And that individual pre-qualifies. So I have a lot of IPCs out there that I don't have to send a 1099 because of the experience. They're qualifying the people, Julia, to come to the event. And therefore, they're saying, girl, you're my sister, but you're not your head not there yet. This is a room of power people that's about sowing and then giving and helping and supporting each other. Girl, you little selfish about yourself. And that's how they screen people. So therefore, the conference, I do it quarterly. And it sells out when nobody knowing about it. You see, and then we bring in dynamic talent. They buy, they support the speakers, they support the vendors, they give each other referrals because I create systems that reward when you get referrals, teaching them to give and forget and receive and remember. That's what I teach them. See, that's what I teach them. Remember last time I did this for you, Julia? Da-da-da-da. Girl, that was when Moses walked the earth. Well, I'm just saying, remember, no. Give and forget. And when you receive, you remember. And those things that you do, and they build up and their lives are changing in the process. So people bring people to me. And when I'm out networking at different events, so when my business is built off of, let me just tell you my number one, reputation, repeat business, and referrals. And the fourth one is my little bonus. So reputation, repeat business, referrals, and relationships. Mm-hmm. See, that's how my business is built. And that's how during... This is an excellent question. Now, that's how during COVID, during the pandemic, my cupboard was filled because the relationships that I built, folks were calling up decision makers, says, hey, how's it going? We got some money left in the budget. We're going to do a virtual thing with you. How's it going? Because you served us well. And then what I do, and for those of you who are listening, when people give you referrals, it's so important. They're giving you someone, number one, you want to find out how qualified the referral is. It could be a relationship that it took them a while to build. How you handle those referrals should be handled like it's a precious item or a priceless painting. How you handle those referrals, because that will indicate where you can tap into that source again. I have a referral book that I keep, and I call it my source book for the people who have fed into me. And then what I do is go through that list, not just once a year. I go over monthly to see how I can add value back to that individual. So every person that gives me a referral, I know what they're looking for, what they need, you know? I mean, I'm obsessed with that. So that's how you become the queen or the king. I hope that was helpful.
That's great.
Was that helpful for you, Bo? Were you taking notes, Bo?
Yeah, no, I think this idea of, I think so many times, and maybe it's part of what you're speaking to, we get focused on the outcome versus the behavior, the relational behavior or the relationship we want people to have or the way we want them to think about that. And so I think it's really interesting when you're talking about your event and you're talking about referrals. It's what I want is referral partners. Therefore, I honor referrals. Regardless of what happens with the referral, I honor the activity
or the thought process that, that puts me in relationship with somebody else.
Absolutely. I have about 40 plus years in the resort industry. Many of you know it as timeshare, but we call it the resort industry now, as one of the top sales producers and sales trainers in the industry, and the only woman of color, only person of color who trains globally in the resort industry, where I go to all different brands and train. During 9/11, working in an offsite office, many of the individuals in our industry, the travel industry, was hit very hard. People were glued at the television set. After seeing the plane crash, no one was thinking about getting on a plane. Those that were already at the resort, at the property, they were in the moment. So the sales professional was able to say to them, you know, can you imagine that day? Some father, some mother promised their son, their daughter, that they were going to go see Mickey. And that never happened. So those individuals that were on site, man, they were in the moment and they were able to close. But there were those of us that were off site, meaning we're in an office building. We're not on paradise. We're not on the beach. We have to have them see it in their mind so they can have it in their hand. We have to sell them through their imagination. It was hard because marketing couldn't give it away. We were giving away the big screen televisions. We were giving away $500 gift certificates for people to come out on a presentation, but they were afraid. And some of our sales reps, financial difficulties, losing their cars, their homes, because they couldn't make any money. I got on the phone and I called all of my clients. Number one, to see how they were doing. See how they were doing. Did you have anyone on the East Coast, anyone that was affected by what was going on? Number two. Number three, since you've been my client, and the moment and everything that's happening during 9/11, I just want to do a checkup. Have I served you well? Oh my gosh, we were able to do this. We were able to do this for our son who got married a honeymoon. And it went on and on. Linda, you were the best. You were the best. And we tell everybody about you. So I served you well. I need to ask you a favor. I need you to send me clients that are just like you. So where other agents had no one to see, my calendar was filled because of the phrasing and how I presented myself. And I asked them to send me clients just like that to do my presentation. And so all that was because of the network, building relationships, maintaining those relationships. I have a system called my 24-karat gold. And what that simply is, I make sure that I touch my clients twice a month, 24 times a year. It could be an email, be an article. They could sit on a board. I can make a donation. I can do this 24 times a year. So law of recency or primacy, I'm the beginning, the first thing on their mind. And I'm the last thing that's on their mind. That's how I take my network and networking seriously. And I take, like Peter was told, to cast the net wide. I cast it wide. You know, my network is diverse. Diverse of thought, talents, gifts. It's diverse. I take it serious.
Interesting. Maybe as we come to the end of our time, I think it'd be really interesting. In all your experience and all the folks you've spoken to and coached and motivated, are there like, you know, does it boil down? Are there like one or two, three most powerful tips of things for people to be thinking about every day that you can leave with our listeners that would help them in this space that's oftentimes in the unconscious to be thinking about when they go about their work every day?
Absolutely. So whoever you are with, you are with them at that moment. And what does that simply mean? My grandmother would say, I don't know what a granny sings, that wherever your mind, your behind is, wherever your behind is, so shall your mind be. It should be in the same place. So like the RV, your mind shouldn't be on the other side of town. So if I'm in your presence, whoever you're talking, be it a child, a coworker, a team member, they may be going through something, a prospective client or a referral, your director, your boss, whoever that may be, be 100% present in their presence. Right now, you know, many people got the attention of a flea and social media doesn't help. But there's something special when you are present in their presence. And let me tell you what it is. You can ask questions and you may get the verbal answer, but the real answer comes from the nonverbal. From when you ask them the question, hey, Linda, how you doing? And I go like this. I'm okay. The verbal tells it all. Those 43 facial muscles. Yeah, Linda said she's okay. But the way the corners of her mouth went down, the way her head tilted to the right, the way she exhaled, she's not. This is an opportunity for me to dig a little deeper, to peel that onion. So if I can leave you with anything from your professional standpoint, from your for your career, for your future, your social network, is to be present. 100% present in this day of our attention is currency. Every advertiser, everyone's fighting for our attention. So to be 100% present is so critical. You know, I don't believe it's going to happen in my lifetime. And I know technology is great. And those of you want to make sure that you're using all the tools that you possibly can. And by the way, AI is what it says, AI. It's artificial intelligence. The real deal is you. But I don't believe in my time, and I could be wrong. You know, then, you know, hopefully they have a cure for cancer, but where it happens, that high tech will never, ever replace high touch. That's what I believe in my time. So it's so important.
I like that. Linda, thank you so much. Although we missed the luxury symposium, we got a piece of it today. And we really thank you for being here. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you. We will, of course, I think, didn't you have a book you wanted to talk about briefly?
Yes. During COVID, I had 9 major publishers bidding on my book. And I settled with one of the big three. And I have a book that's coming out. We have bookstores everywhere, but you can pre-order. It's called Hush. How to Radiate Power and Confidence Without Saying a Word. And all you have to do is go to buyhushbook.com.
Buyhushbook.com. Y'all heard it here first. Wow. Okay, thank you so much, Linda. Thank you to everyone who has tuned in for another fabulous episode on the Color of Money podcast. Friends, we will catch y'all next week. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.